This is Scott, and you are listening to Fine Tune You with Helen, your home for holistically balanced living. Find us at www.finetuneyou.com and enjoy helpful, inspiring, and amusing information. Besides practicing holistic self-development disciplines for over 40 years, additional formal studies have deepened her knowledge and qualifications. Helen is an intuitive counselor, transformational coach, and guided imagery expert. As a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology, Helen has her master's degree in metaphysics and is working toward her doctorate in metaphysics and holistic ministries.
Welcome, everyone. This is Sunday's Fine Tune You, your home for living holistically in a messy life. We're on Deep Radio Station 1, live at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 2 a.m. in the UK and Western Europe for our friends there. Tonight, we are so privileged. We have Patricia Seaver McGivern, author of Angel Babies, Messages from Miscarried and Other Lost Babies, joining us. She'll be with us shortly. Just a gentle reminder, Fine Tune You has a new show on BBS Radio Station 1 on Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern, and for breakfast in the UK at 6 a.m. On this show, you have the opportunity to discuss the tools all of us can use to increase holistic balance. During this hour, we will dig deep, ask questions, and make observations. Now, on Monday night, Fine Tune You has a rerun show on BBS Radio Station 2 at 7:55 Pacific, 9:55 Central, and 10:55 Eastern. Monday evening show will be from either our Saturday or Sunday show. In other words, it's going to be a surprise. You'll have to check in and see which program we'll be on. It's going to vary from week to week. Then, we have shows in the archives, so you have many ways and opportunities to connect with Fine Tune You and learn how to live holistically in a messy life. If all these shows and times are confusing, you can go to our website at www.finetuneyou.com, and on our menu is the calendar option. If you click on the calendar, all shows, times, and guests are listed. So, what is Fine Tune You exactly? Well, we started as a website, then added two live radio shows offering different approaches to learning how to live holistically in a messy life. Our Sunday program features our guest speakers, our Monday show reruns, and our Saturday show provides lively discussions on living holistically in a messy life. I want to know what you want to hear. I want to know how you are living fine-tuned, and I want to keep it real. Fine Tune You's goal is to help all of us include holistic truths into every aspect of our messy lives, encouraging us to ask, how am I including the truths of the universe into my life? I love figuring out new ways for us to connect. We have two new ways to connect to the radio show, one through Skype and two through your phone. These are two connections that you just listen to the show now. First, you can connect to the show through Skype. You go to Skype at new contact called Free Conferencing. That's one word, all little letters, FreeComFerencing. When prompted by Skype, type in this access code, 652957 pound. That's 652957 pound. Please remember, though, through this connection, you will only be able to listen to the show. Or if you happen to be out and about and said, oh my gosh, I want to listen to the show. Possibly you're at work. Listen to our program. You can go to your phone, dial 712-432-0057, punch in 652957 pound. That's your access code. The dial-in number is 712-432-0075. Now, if during the show you want to contact me, you can email and ask questions of our guest or me, give comments or feedback, just email helen@finetuneyou.com. Or you can connect by calling BBS Radio at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Skype is your third option. If you want to ask a question through Skype, just add as a contact FineTuneU, all one word, small letters, FineTuneyou, and you'll be able to speak live to me. Please note that if I'm in the middle of a thought, I will complete it before taking your call. Or if I'm online with someone else, I'll complete their call before taking yours. And I know a lot of you like to just listen and breathe in and embrace the sacred space of light, love, purpose, and intention. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, we are so glad you're with us. And because we are live, we are together right now in this wonderful time, in this present moment, in this gift to each of us. And I hope you like what you hear and benefit and feel moved to shift some of your insights or beliefs. I so look forward to our extraordinary time together. It's so good to be here and join together and to know that you are holding and I am holding. And together we are all holding our sacred space of light, love, purpose, and intention. FineTuneU is nothing without all of you wonderfully grounded people. And we cherish our wonderful listener base. You are the foundation of our program. I am your host, Helen Smalley Bauer, and I like to say guide or co-guide. Now, let's take a short commercial break, and we'll see you on the other side, where we'll be joined by Patricia Seaver McGiver, author of Angel Babies, Messages from Miscarried and Other Lost Babies.
Are you ready to achieve your deepest dreams, enhance your healing, or offer your best to the world? Then visit us at www.finetuneyou.com, where we've been since 1998. As you search our website, you will find encouragement, inspiration, and amusing information. If you are ready for intuitive counseling, transformational coaching, or a personalized interactive guided imagery recording, send an email to helen@finetuneyou.com or call her at 877-469-5505, extension 1. O's Acupuncture is where modern technology is blended with Eastern-style wellness. O's approach is to combine the old with the latest scientific technology. He transforms various ancient texts, then uses Hippocrates' principles to combine the best of Eastern and Western healing techniques. O provides you with the latest of modern alternatives, along with the most traditional of Eastern healing techniques. It's time to start taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. Achieve balanced health. Outlive your friends. Defy time. Change your destiny. O's, located at 8 Immortal Center, 1188 Bishop Street, Suite 2409, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Call 548-7711 to schedule your evaluation. Make an appointment today. Call 548-7711.
Welcome back. Now, before we welcome Patricia, let's take just a minute and call our angels and the loving spirits of the universe to assemble with us. And as we open our hearts and quiet our spirits, we gather together and hold our sacred space of light, love, purpose, and intention. Today we are so privileged to have Patricia Seaver McGiver. She's going to shoot me. I get her last name wrong. She's a lecturer, hypnotist, and author of the life-changing book, Angel Babies, Messages from Miscarried and Other Lost Babies, as our guest. I'm going to spell Patricia's last name so you get it right. It's MC, capital G-I-V-E-R-N. And this is an absolutely fantastic book. Welcome, Patricia.
Oh, thank you, Helen.
I am so sorry about your last name. I slaughter it. I don't know why. It's the same as McGovern.
Yes, McGovern, but McGivern. Just remember give in the middle of the word.
I so apologize.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, I have to tell you, I did go into this book quite skeptical. Probably not as skeptical as some people would have been, because I have had some experiences with people on the other side. But when I started reading your book, I thought, whoa. And then as I got into it, I shift from a question whoa to a whoa. And the awareness of how you were so connected. I just, I'm covered with goosebumps as I say it. I just am. Can you tell us what prompted you to write your Angel Babies Messages from Miscarried and Other Lost Babies?
Well, first of all, I have goosebumps. Thank you for telling me how the book affected you. Yes, I would love to tell you about it. It was certainly not my idea to write this book. And what happened is I heard from the baby, and it took many years for me to have the courage to write this book. I should probably start by telling you that I've been in the corporate world for nearly 20 years, and I was not on this path, shall we say. Although, now, looking back, I think I probably was on it, and I just didn't realize it. So it began, the story really began with not only the loss of our second child, a miscarriage at about 11 weeks, but 4.5 years later, after we had had a child, another child after that loss, Megan was 2 years old, and I was taking one of those rare naps in the afternoon while she was napping, and I woke up. I was in that in-between state where you know you're not completely awake, but you're not asleep either, and I heard very clearly right next to me, "I'm right here. I'm right here." And my eyes bolted open, and I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, she had woken up early, and she was walking around the house, and she wasn't in the room with me. The bedroom door was closed, and I thought, well, that's odd. You know, she should be right here with me, only to discover that she was not only not in the room, not in the hallway, not downstairs, but that I would find her upstairs asleep. And that's exactly where I found her. I never doubted hearing, because it was so clear to me, the words, and it would take years before I would put together that it could never have been Megan saying those words, because Megan had speech issues and she couldn't say her R's or her L's, so it would have sounded like, "I'm white here, I'm white here." Mm-hmm. But I didn't put that together at the time, because I just wasn't thinking, oh, it must be the baby. And when I looked around downstairs for her, trying to put it together, you know how you're thinking to yourself, you're trying to make sense of something like, okay, no neighbors, TV's not on, radio's not on, child not downstairs, what did I hear? I know what I heard. And then an answer came in my mind that said, "You'll find her upstairs asleep." And with that, the hair on the back of my neck went up, and I went running upstairs thinking, what? And how can this be? Only to find her in a very deep sleep. And then I'm staring again, trying to make sense of all of this. And I thought, well, if it wasn't Megan, what did I hear? Who did I hear? And the answer came again. It was the baby you lost. Mm-hmm. It would be a week later that I was getting a massage, and of course now I was really thinking about the loss of the baby again, and it brought up a lot of those tears and the pain and of the loss. And as I was getting a massage, my massage therapist said, "He's here." And I said, "Who's here?" And I'm covering up. I'm thinking some delivery guy walked in. And she said, "The baby you lost." And that's how the conversation began. And it was, that experience was so, I wasn't sure she was really, you know, on the up and up. I knew she was metaphysical. Wasn't sure I really knew what that word meant at the time. And wasn't sure, you know, was curious, but also thought, who buys this stuff? You know, who comes here? But, and yet I felt so comfortable with her. And she began describing a little boy with blonde hair and big blue eyes, and she had never seen my children before or pictures of them. And my children have very blonde hair and big blue eyes. And the more she described him, the more I thought, whoa, she may really be seeing him. Because I said, "Well, how old is he?" And she said, "Well, he looks to be about 4. And 4 is how old he would have been had he lived."
Wow.
So that's how it began. That experience was so big that I apparently couldn't take it in, because when I got home, I told my husband, who did not respond at all to me, as though I had not said anything. He was probably trying to absorb it himself. And I usually start most conversations with, "You're not going to believe what just happened." But I think that it was when I didn't get a response from him, I think my inner mind just thought, yeah, he must not believe me. And how could this possibly have happened? And with that, I have no idea even to this day, except to say that it was probably just too big for me to take in. And I completely forgot the experience until I went back to get a massage again a couple of months later. It was during that time that Dylan came back, and he wasn't too happy I had forgotten his name. And he told me that one of my life's purposes was to write a book, and that the title of the book would be Angel Babies, to help heal the mommies who've lost their babies. Mm. And that profound, you know, something that's so profound like that, I thought, what? Wrong mommy, wrong life mission. What will people think? They'll think I'm crazy. No, I can't possibly do something like that. And so that's really how it began.
So what did you do about it?
Well, Dylan, it turned out, is very persistent. So he continued in different ways, not like every day or anything, but making his presence known. And I kept thinking about this mission and talking to my husband about it, but it was always in the back of my mind, and I thought, I don't think I can write that book. What do I know about the other side? I'm not a writer. What does he want from me? And yet I couldn't stop thinking about the book. And so it just took a series of events happening with him connecting with me before I finally had the courage to begin to write the book.
Would you tell people how you got confirmation on the title of your book? I think that's such a beautiful story.
Well, are you talking about going to the store?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So after the first time going to get the massage, and I was the next morning, I walked into a store, and at the time I thought, when I was given this message, I thought, if anything, maybe I could write a book about the grief, because nobody was talking about the miscarried babies. It's as though they don't exist. You know, I would hear comments, it's not like the baby was real, you can have another baby. There must be a reason, you know, something must have been wrong with the baby. And these are all things that don't help your heart. You know, it's for those parents who are excited about having a baby. This is a very real loss. If you think if you hear a woman say, I miscarried my baby, and if you listen really deeply to her soul talking, you hear what she's really saying, I miss carrying my baby. And that's what a miscarriage really is. It's miscarrying the baby. So the next morning, I walked into a bookstore to look for books on miscarriage, and there was an entire wall of books, and the woman, I had someone there help me to find a book, and she handed me one small book and said, there you go. And I said, wait, that's it? There aren't more books about the miscarried babies? And she said, no, I had a miscarriage, and nobody wanted to talk about it. And I said what I thought was to myself, then I guess I'll need to write the book. And she turned around and she said, absolutely, write the book. So I left there thinking, what are the chances of running into somebody who would say that to me? And I was beginning to pay attention to coincidences at the time, and walked into the store next door, and right in front of me was a new display of different items that they were selling. And on this display, at eye level, I walk up, and here is a plastic box, and on the front of it said, Angel Babies.
Yeah.
Now, today, that wouldn't be as big of a deal, but then you never saw angel babies. You never, it was very rare that you could find angels. It wasn't, they weren't as common as they are now or were even a few years ago. It was difficult. So to see that, it was like, whoa, are you kidding me? And I just kind of looked up and said, got it, okay. So it was, you know, there were so many things that began happening when I began to pay attention, like when we planted a tree for the baby, and we planted it when I was pregnant. Well, we didn't know at the time if the baby was a boy or a girl. I felt very strongly the baby was a boy, and Tim, my husband, felt just as strongly that the baby was a girl, so we never named the baby. And we never decided on what sex the baby was. And that was, in fact, one of the reasons why Dylan ended up going to Mary Ann Lane, my massage therapist, because he told her, my mommy's been wondering, you know, what sex I am. So that was one of the things that made him, I guess, apparently at that time, want to contact me, and he knew that he could through her. Anyways, we decided to plant a tree when I was pregnant because we had done so with my first child, Kylie, and I wanted to see this tree grow with the pregnancy. So we chose a camphor tree, and we planted it in our backyard, and the tree never grew. And I mean, the tree didn't grow for 3.5 years. I would look out at the tree. It would be dead, lifeless. There were no leaves. It was just brittle limbs. And I would sometimes say to Tim, would you please cut that darn tree down? The baby didn't live, and either did the tree. And he would just calm me down and say, yes, I will cut the tree down. But he never did. And so over the years, I would just look out at it as the dead tree, the loss of the baby. It was the symbol. And then one day, as I said, about 3.5 years later, maybe even 4, I walked out on my back porch, and I saw green on the tree, and I thought, what? And I ran downstairs, and there were new buds, new leaves forming. It was, you know, without my conscious mind thinking, I knew it was a sign from the baby, that the baby was alive or okay on the other side, and I brought Tim down. I'm like, you know, honey, the tree, it's alive. And I don't think he got it quite like I did, but, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. But I validated that and just said something to the baby, you know, that I hear you, baby, and I know that's you. And so it was perhaps from that event that he knew it was time. And the grieving, you know, 4.5 years later, I was not in the middle of grief. The grieving was, you know, I would think of the baby sometimes with sadness, but it wasn't that heaviness that you carried, the raw grief that you have right after something like that has happened. So, anyways, that's another one of the stories.
I can imagine when the tree was dead, it was like, why aren't you taking this thing down? You know, at that period, it must have been very difficult for you to be such a reminder, and aren't we glad that there was a delaying going on there. It works out to be so perfect.
And that tree today, Helen, is about 20 feet tall and 20 feet wide. It is a beautiful tree that I now, we call it Dylan's tree, and we go in it and we can actually climb into it and lay in there and meditate, and it's a fantastic tree.
Well, that's because he's a fantastic Dylan.
Yes.
That's why. That's wonderful. I love it. You know, I know you also had contact with your father and mother during this time and before, right? Before you spoke to Dylan, you spoke to your mother and father?
When I would get massages, I began to, what I thought was, pretend to talk to them. And I would always go to, I don't know why, but, well, I do now, that I would find myself at a house in Jamaica that we had rented that fell into our laps several weeks after the loss of Dylan. We ended up going down there and stayed for a week, and I felt so nourished and taken care of and mothered, is the best way to say, so mothered, because there was someone there who prepared all of our meals, and it just felt so just nurturing is the word that comes to mind. I felt so nurtured and taken care of. And I would imagine being in that place near the pool deck and laying out, and I would just begin to think about my mom and dad and ask them to come to me, and they would come. Mm-hmm. And when they would come through the house, they would be, you know, the first time they were dark, but there was a lightness like around them until they walked out into the light. And I think what amazed me the most is I was able to hold my dad's hand, and I had forgotten how soft his hands were. And I thought, boy, I am really good at this imagination thing, you know. I thought, wow, I'm good at this. And I didn't really care if I was imagining, because it felt like I was having conversations with them. And then as time went on and I continued doing it, they began to encourage me to continue working on myself in areas that, you know, I was ready to give up on, basically. And they began telling me things that I wouldn't have imagined. I would have imagined something a lot nicer or easier for me than what they were suggesting. And so I knew that if I could talk to them, even if that was pretend, which is what I thought it was at the time, that maybe I could talk to Dylan in the same way. So when Marianne saw him, and there were all these confirmations, like she said, he has a little wagon, and in the wagon is a bear. And I said, a bear? Because what she didn't know was about 2 weeks earlier, I'd stopped into a store, a craft store, and I had seen this antique-looking bear, and I was drawn to this bear. I had to have the bear. I had two small children, and I bought the bear for me. I was a little embarrassed by that. And she described this bear, and it wasn't a typical furry bear. It was a little more antique-looking. And I was amazed by that. So when I got what I felt was enough confirmations, the age, we found out, she said, well, I wanted to know what his name was. And she said, it's a name Tim thought of. Well, I completely ignored that and mentioned all of the names that I wanted to name him. And she just kind of shook her finger back and forth like, no, it's a name Tim thought of. And I thought, how in the world am I ever going to remember a name from nearly 5 years ago? And with that, it was in my mind, Dylan, and she said, yes, that's his name. And without thinking, I just said, flip me over. I'm going to try to talk to him on my own. When I began talking to him, I didn't know anything then, so it was like I didn't know if he had heard me or I don't know what. You know, your mind is just flooded with, like, what do I say? And I just ended up saying, I love you so much, Dylan. And I heard his little voice, I love you too, Mommy. And it was the same little voice that I had heard say, I'm right here. I'm right here. And with that, I heard another voice, an older man's voice in front of me. Dylan, again, came to me in my left ear on the side. I didn't see him. But you know how when somebody's standing next to you and you just, you turn around and in a crowd or something and someone is standing there? It's kind of that feeling, you know. I knew he was there. I could feel his presence, but I couldn't see him. This other voice came in. Today I would say it was probably a guy. Then I just thought it was like, who are you? And he said, what about Megan? And I thought, who are you? What are you doing here? And what does this have to do with Megan? I'm finally talking to my miscarried baby. And with that, Dylan answered, Megan was to have come with me. And she wanted her to be, she wanted you to be her mommy so much, she has returned to you. And I was, that completely blew me away because I had no idea I was pregnant with twins. It never even occurred to me. And so that's how that, that was that story. Yes.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. You know, I know this is all metaphysical and stuff, but you also have quite a you had a faith, a deep faith before all this started, right? Am I correct on that?
Well, I'll tell you, I had been struggling with religion. I'll put it that way. The religion of my childhood was just didn't work. It really never worked for me. So I had begun believing in angels, which were soft, and I loved that. And so, yes, I did have a deep belief in a higher power. At that time, and of course, continue to.
Well, that was kind of what I wanted to bring out, because a lot of people think that when we shift to holistic thinking and beliefs that we lose our connection with our higher power or God, and I always have believed that it deepens our connection, and I just wanted you to kind of expound on that.
Well, absolutely. I too call my higher power God. I really have a better connection than I ever did before. Now I understand so much. I look for coincidences as God's way of remaining anonymous, and I see the God light in all of us. It's I came from a place where I didn't believe in any of this, and now I'm so involved in all of it, and it feels so comfortable to me. During my exploration, basically, the reason I went on a spiritual search was, of course, with the loss of the baby. It propelled me on a path of searching and looking for something more, I suppose. And, you know, I had already lost my parents, so I'm an only child. So I was familiar with loss, but my faith continued to grow. Today, I feel an incredible connection with God, and that is wonderful. That's something I didn't have before that I have now.
That's kind of what I wanted to see, what I could get from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many people, they're just afraid that if they go into holistic thinking that they're going to lose their faith rather than it will deepen it. And I love the fact that you're able to confirm that it will deepen it. You know, I know that when you wrote Angel Babies, it shifted you toward, that's how you became a hypnotist, right?
Exactly. Because during my spiritual journey, you know, once I had this message to write a book, which I, you know, didn't really want to do, I began reading everything I could get my hands on, Helen, and it began with Dr. Brian Weiss's book, Many Lives, Many Masters, having to do with reincarnation and past life regression. And when I read his book, it so deeply resonated with me, I thought, finally, I hear some truth. And the years went on. I read everything I could about angels, about life after life, near-death experiences from, of course, Dr. Raymond Moody. And it was like I couldn't get enough, you know, just tell me more, tell me more. And so it was during that time that I then thought, I want to experience this thing called a past life regression. And after doing that, after, you know, I experienced that several times, I thought, I think I'd like to be a guide. You know, I'd like to learn how to do this and help guide people. And so I became a hypnotist, wanting to focus in past life regression, and then ended up training with Dr. Brian Weiss, which was fantastic. So I've been doing that now about 12 years in September.
Wonderful. And you now are in contact with many other women who have also are miscarrying their babies, right?
Yes, the women are coming to me. They're finding their way to me. And when you're in this state of hypnosis, which is a very natural state we go in and out of every day, you know, it's that in-between state I had when I heard from Dylan. It's, you know, when you're driving somewhere and you get there and you're like, whoa, who was driving the car? That's a light state of hypnosis. Meditation is in that same state where we can talk to the other side. So what I've done is I've begun working with women in this state where we can pull the veil back and actually talk to the baby and get a better understanding so that the mother can heal. Sometimes women come to me, you know, because they've had a hard time getting through their grief for the loss of a baby in whatever way they've lost the baby. And when we discover that it really, we think as mothers that we are in control of everything, you know, like when I was miscarrying the baby, I thought it was all my fault, you know, and you can't help but to wonder, you know, should I not have exercised too much that day, or did I drink a cup of coffee, or, you know, how am I responsible? And only to discover, as I did in my research, that, you know, it's, we think it's our decision, and it's not. It's the baby's decision. Mm-hmm. And whether they come or choose not to for now, you know, there, and that includes in all ways that a baby is lost. It's, that was amazing information to me. When I finally began to, I knew when I finally decided to start writing the book, which happened because I walked into a bookstore one day and coincidentally found myself on an aisle with baby books, and I happened to look down and there was a book on miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And I picked it up, I started flipping through it, and it was the book that I thought I would write about the loss, you know, validating the loss of an early lost baby. Right. And my first thought was, whoa, thank goodness I didn't have to do that. You know, I felt like I had just, it had gone out into the universe and somebody else had picked it up and I wasn't going to have to do it. And I was so relieved. And then what really surprised me was a moment later, I had this feeling that I had lost an opportunity for my soul's growth out of fear. And I thought about it a little bit more and I realized I hadn't lost that opportunity, because that wasn't the book I was supposed to write. The book I was supposed to write was about spirit communication. And that, along with going into meditation one day and seeing Dylan And he was standing in a doorway with his shoulders slumped and his head down, and he said, "It's okay, Mommy. You don't have to write the book." Ouch. And with that, I'm like, oh, the mother guilt, you know. And so it was then that I said, okay, I'll write the book, but you better help me. And so I knew I couldn't be the only one having these experiences, but if people weren't talking about even their miscarriages, who would be talking about communication with the babies? And so I put ads in different magazines. One was Venture Inward, which is the Edgar Cayce publication. And I knew that those people were open, and so I thought it would be easier to get responses, and I did begin getting responses from throughout the world immediately, from Australia and Sweden and Puerto Rico, South America, Canada, from all over the United States, all different socioeconomic levels, education levels, in all ways. These experiences don't happen to just certain people. It can happen to anyone. And the communication can come most predominantly in the dream state, but also through things like coincidences, meditation, the babies can come through psychic experiences. I had one story of a near-death experience of a sibling who saw her brother, who she didn't even know she had lost an older brother, and she knew his name. The parents were quite stunned by that, through visions of seeing a child. And this was a granddaughter who wrote to me, and she said, "This is my grandmother's story, and if she were alive, I know she would tell you this." And through psychics themselves and through hypnosis and coincidences, synchronistic coincidences. When I decided, you know, that I thought, well, I'm going to need to have a way for people to write to me, I thought, well, of course, an email address, and it would be Angel Babies. When I got the verification back, there were all these numbers attached to Angel Babies, 10527. I thought, I must be the 10,527th person who's asked for this name. I thought, how in the world am I ever going to remember this name, let alone telling anybody else this email address? And then I had someone call me who was curious about numbers that kept coming up into their life, wanted to do some hypnosis regarding that. And I started thinking about the numbers behind Angel Babies. And when I went home that evening and took a look at the numbers, I about fell off my chair, because if you broke the numbers down to 10/5/27, 10/5 was the day that I miscarried Dylan, and 27 was the day that I found out I was pregnant. So it was like the beginning and end, so to speak. Very profound numbers and very
full circle.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So there's so many different ways that they can, you know, I actually heard voices. Other people have heard them. Sometimes you actually hear them with your ears, and sometimes in your mind, you know, telepathically. There's so many ways, and I'm continuing doing my research. I would really like your listeners to know that if they have a story that they would like to share with me, I will keep it confidential unless you tell me otherwise. But please do write me at pmcgivern@aol.com or go to my website, www.patriciamcgivern.com, and you can find my information there. But I am still doing this research because nobody is talking about these babies.
And it's such important research. It really is.
Thank you.
I really do. You know, how are angel babies equipped to help us here? I know you talk about that.
Well, I think the key is to find out that we aren't as responsible for the loss as we may think, and so that we know that they're okay and that they can come back to us. I mean, I hate to give too much of my book away, but From the moment that I found out I was pregnant, with my nurse in my nurse midwife's office, and I found out my due date, the first uncensored thought that went through my mind was, the baby will be due on my dad's birthday, because the baby is my dad returning to me. And I didn't believe in reincarnation then. It was like, what was that thought? You know, where did that come from? Only to find out years later that the baby was, in fact, my dad coming back to me to be with me. And I also learned that the gift was actually, and I have goosebumps now, not in his coming, but that his coming only briefly, so that it would propel me on this path, not only for myself, but so that I could help others. And that's huge.
If I remember correctly, you knew from the beginning, though, that somehow you knew you weren't going to carry this baby, and it was very upsetting to you. Is that correct?
Yes, because right after I had the thought that the baby was my dad coming back to me, my next thought was, and that the baby would hurt me emotionally, as my dad had. My dad was alcoholic, and all of that pain. And I remember thinking, man, I got to work on my dad issues before this baby comes, because this isn't good. And so other things began happening, you know, like we didn't get a loan. We wanted to add on to a room in our house, and we didn't get the loan. And, okay, so you don't get a loan. But I sobbed for half an hour, like deep sobbing, crying, way over what was, you know, appropriate for that. And I knew, my uncensored was like, I knew God knew we wouldn't need an extra room. And that's why we weren't getting the loan. It was so clear to me. I don't know why.
And that's why you were sobbing, because yes. You knew in your heart. Yeah.
When I was sitting down at dinner, you know, I announced to a group of colleagues that I was pregnant, and the guy next to me is like, don't you know you never tell anybody you're pregnant until you're 12 weeks along? What if you lose the baby? And I was so embarrassed, and I just went inside and waited for the conversation to go to the weather, because everybody was quite uncomfortable, before excusing myself and going upstairs. And my husband we were away on a business trip, he was with me, and telling him what had happened and sobbing again, more than what the situation, because I knew that something, you know, the soul does know. Uh-huh. The soul knows. And so my soul knew, and then I would get talked out of it, basically. He would tell me everything's going to be fine,
you know, I experienced something fairly similar, and it's just this horrible feeling that you know something that you don't want to know. And I had a pregnancy that I just knew it wasn't going to come out right, and I felt so guilty that it wasn't going to come out right. And when the baby was like 4.5 months along, now this is before we had ultrasound like we do now, but they still couldn't pick up a heartbeat, and I was like, just devastated. And then at 5 months, they picked up the heartbeat, and they said it was nice and strong. And I thought, well, it must have just been positioned wrong. And I was just elated. And 4 weeks later, I lost the baby.
Mm.
You know, but I had, it's that terrible knowing what you don't want to know.
Right, right. Yeah, tell me anything but that. And we did have the internal sonogram, because right after that event with the guy telling me, you know, you don't tell anybody, the next morning I did spot. And when I went back home, I had that exam done, only to hear the heart beating so strongly, I was sure the baby was fine. In fact, I went to a park nearby, and Tim went to the office for a few minutes while we waited, because, you know, they're not supposed to tell you the results. They have to go through a radiologist and then to your doctor. So I went to this park to thank God for this. And you know, the baby clearly was fine. The heartbeat was far too strong for anything to be wrong. Mm. And while there, as I was talking to God and put myself in apparently some type of a trance state, you know, just daydreaming, I suddenly saw a vision of what I'm going to call like two cloud masses right in front of me. One was very dark, and one was this beautiful, bright, white light. And somehow I knew that the darkness was the disease of alcoholism, and the white light was my dad's love. And I'd never felt it so clearly or strongly, or it was so powerful. And I realized, I don't know how long that lasted, if it was 3 seconds or 3 minutes, I have no idea, but all I know is when I came out of it, I was healed, and I completely understood the difference between the disease of alcoholism that my dad had and his love for me, and that I was clear, I was fine, any of those fears were gone, and they're still gone today. It's a complete healing happened in that vision. So I thought that that was a gift from the baby. But it turned out, yes, that the gift was actually much bigger, but it meant that he wouldn't be able to come.
Right. Okay, I want to end on ask you this question.
Yes.
Could you explain to someone who hasn't experienced such loving guidance, how they could find this kind of connection, what they need to do? Just give them a clue to maybe help them start their journey. I always like to get people started on journeys.
I think that's great. I think here's how it starts. Be open. Just be open to it happening. And begin to talk to your baby. And if you have a name for the baby, then talk to the baby by the name that you've given the baby. And begin to look for things then. Daydreams. Have a question in your mind. See if any information comes up. Just notice little things. Some of the coincidences can be butterflies, you know, you've heard of. Pennies. Sometimes people talk to me and they've seen, you know, visions or, you know, just like daydreams of a child, and they begin to communicate in this way. They just want us to know that they're still with us, that they, I think, love us, you know, I mean, that they're only a thought away, and that what I'm hearing is that people who don't even believe in this have read my book. And one woman said, I would never have picked this book up. It goes against all of my religious beliefs. But she actually was one of the editors. She edited the book as a gift, actually, from a friend of mine who wanted her work edited. And she called me and she said, well, I'm, you know, this is not in accord with my beliefs. And I thought, okay. And I was very nervous because she was like a Yale graduate or something. And she called me when she finished reading the book, and she said, I have two words for you. And I braced myself for the worst. And she said, I believe.
Mm.
And I think when you read not only my story, but because there's so many other stories in there of other women, and a few dads wrote me too, from all over the world and in different ways, you can't help but to be open to this happening and realize these things do happen and how healing the communication is.
That's true. I certainly am a believer. You know, Patricia, you have given these babies such a strong voice. You know, they are no longer miscarried or lost babies. They're found because of you. Mm. I really thank you. I thank you so much for our time together.
Thank you, and on behalf of Dylan and all the angel babies, thank you very much for allowing me to talk about them.
Anytime. Again, I want to thank Patricia McGivern for this very, very special hour. I'm just covered in goosebumps as we end this hour. Remember, if you're looking for transformation intuitive guidance, or if you'd like more information about any of the tools we talked about, you can call or email me. I will get you in touch with Patricia in case you didn't get her email. You can email me at helen@findtuneyou.com, or you could call at 877-469-5505, extension 1. I'd like you to please join us next Saturday for Fine Tune You on BBS Radio Station 1. It's going to be live at 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. in the U.K. Next Sunday's guest will be Ellen Wood. Ellen is the author and keynote speaker of your Grow Young Guide and her book, The Secret Method for Growing Younger, a step-by-step process using the law of attraction to help you stop aging, grow younger, and enjoy life. Ellen insists that you don't have to grow old. You can regain the vitality, strength, flexibility, mental alertness, and passion of youth, and even look younger. She's living proof. In her truly life-changing book, Ellen teaches her proven formula for using the law of attraction to awaken a new, vibrant, younger you. And she shares her experience of creating this program to reverse her own decline into predictable old age. Ellen's step-by-step youthfulness instruction guide to you. She examines your perceptions about aging and explores your fears about the losses and changing aging might bring. She shows you how to stop negative programming as it arises, and to consciously reorient yourself toward a goal of a younger you. She shows you how to deliberately create new expectations about who you will become as you age. Ellen wants us all to recognize how, by growing younger and living life more joyfully, we can energize and support others to live to their optimum potential as well. So please tune in May 30th to hear How to Grow Younger with Ellen Wood. Well, that's our show for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. And again, I thank Patricia for giving us this hour. It was such a special hour. And I thank all of you for taking the time to connect, for being part of Fine Tune You. Thank you for holding the sacred space of light, love, purpose, and intention. It's always great to connect with all of you. Such a joy. Until next time, may the light of love surround and support your body, your thoughts, your emotions, and your spirit. May you choose to immerse yourself in the loving guidance of your spiritual source. May the power and love watch over you each moment of your day. And remember, wherever you are, love exists. I look forward to each of you joining me next Saturday and Sunday when we will continue to fine-tune you. Aloha and good night.